We continue our series of study about overcoming. Overcoming. Jesus has laid down the gauntlet. He has given the challenge, issued the challenge. You must overcome as I have overcome. If you wish to sit with me on my throne, as I sit with my Father on his throne. Now, I know you might wonder, where did you get that from? It's Revelation 3, verse 21, and we've noticed it two or three times in previous lessons. This is an ongoing series of lessons. Revelation 3, 21. We don't have an option here. This is not for those that just are so made up to be overcomers. I'll make up a word. And they like that kind of thing. They love challenges. And no, it's for all. If you wish to receive eternal glory, you must. You must overcome. Overcome what? Well, in a simple word answer, we continue our series of studies about overcoming. Overcoming. Jesus has laid down the gauntlet. He has given the challenge, issued the challenge. You must overcome as I have overcome. If you wish to sit with me on my throne, as I sit with my Father on his throne. Now, I know you might wonder, where did you get that from? It's Revelation 3, verse 21, and we've noticed it two or three times in previous lessons. This is an ongoing series of lessons. Revelation 3, 21. We don't have an option here. This is not for those that just are so made up to be overcomers. I'll make up a word. And they like that kind of thing. They love challenges. And no, it's for all. If you wish to receive eternal glory, you must. You must overcome. Overcome what? Well, in a simple word answer, overcome the world. Overcome the world. But what is that all about? What's overcoming the world? Well, that's lots of things. It's lots of things. Anything and everything that is in this world that would be a hindrance or an obstacle keeping you out of eternal life must be overcome. You have to overcome any and all things that are of this world. And what might be something you have to deal with and overcome may not be me, but I venture to say vice versa. I may have some you don't have. We'll all have one or more. Sooner or later, eventually, it's just the nature of this world we live in. You're going to have to overcome various things to enter into eternal life. And so that's the case with us individually. The case here, though, today, and I appreciate J.R., I asked him, in fact, to lead this song that we just sang, Yield Not to Temptation. Overcoming, as the third verse indicated, ye who overcome, it talks about in the third verse, is something universal, meaning all of us will have to overcome this one. This is not mine or yours individually. It's the whole of mankind must overcome temptation if we're going to inherit eternal life. Now, just before I get stuck into the heart of the lesson, let me do a bit of a clarification here. To be tempted is not to sin. Don't want anyone thinking, well, you're saying we have to never sin. No, now that's a bit of a... They're connected, but they're not one and the same. You're tempted to sin. And so when you are tempted, it's not to be confused with being, I've sinned because I was tempted. No, the scriptures indicate God doesn't tempt any man. That's not a part of his realm. Jesus, when he was on the earth, was tempted like, and I believe John alluded to that. He was tempted like we are, except without sin. So, no, it's not of God, and it's not something that's sinful in and of itself. But it has to be something of the devil then, something of this world that we must overcome. Turn with me to begin with in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 to introduce this thought or theme of how we might overcome temptation. We need to overcome sin. You better believe we ought to do that. But we also need to overcome temptation even before we sin. There's a lot we could do by way of overcoming sin if we would seek to overcome temptation. Don't wait till it's a sin problem to overcome. How about we nip it in the bud? Why don't we start right from the get-go with the sin problem and try to overcome the temptation? Then might we do better at overcoming sin? Absolutely. It would have to be that way. Look at 1 Corinthians then, chapter 10 and verse number 13. We find the scriptures saying this about the business of temptation. No temptation has overtaken you. Notice that. Overtaken you. But we have to overcome or overtake it. But no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. What you going to do for me, God? He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation. Didn't say he'd take it away. But along with the temptation, God will see to it, I'm paraphrasing, that you're provided a way out. A way of escape. Why? So what? Well, that's the last line. That you may be able to bear it. May I use another word? That you might be able to overcome it. God will see to it that there will be no peculiar temptation coming your way that is not typically common to all, nor will He allow you to be tempted in a way that you can't bear or endure. It had to be succumbed to. I had to yield. No, you didn't. You might have, but you didn't have to. I will always see to it that an escape route is provided you to get out of the temptation. Now it's up to you to take it. Now that's the promise of God. And He's faithful and will not promise in vain. He'll see to it that He does what He promises. If He says, I, with every temptation, will provide you a way out that you may overcome and bear the temptation, you better believe it's there. Then it's a matter of us seeing it and taking it. But it's promised to be there. What are they? What are some of the escape routes? What are some of the methods or ways in which we can overcome temptation? I'm glad you asked, because that's the heart of the lesson. Flee. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. What are some of the ways to overcome temptation? The first up for consideration is flee. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, we're told to flee sexual immorality or fornication. Look at chapter 10, same book, verse 14. Flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. And then come over to 2 Timothy. It's a little, if you're not familiar, that's 4, 5, 6 books beyond 1 Corinthians. You'll come to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts. Flee. Now that may be literally. Literally, you need to run for it from temptation. Who does that remind you of? Joseph. Joseph, remember, tempted by Potiphar's wife to engage in sexual activity, and he fled, literally, put one foot up and one foot down in front of each other and got out of there. That is good advice. That is good advice. I don't want to yield to temptation. I want to overcome. In some instances, a good way out that the Lord has provided you is down below you, 2 feet. Get up and flee. Get out of there. Run. Well, but I don't want to be viewed a coward or a chicken. Which is worse, to be viewed by men as a coward or be viewed by God and known by God as a sinner? I'd rather be the coward that got up and fled from temptation. And let men think what they will. What God views me as or knows me as is more important than what men view me as. But if it's not literal, you better flee in mind. If you don't run for it physically in time of temptation, for sure flee here in your head. You need to turn your eyes away. You need to close your ears. I don't mean you live your whole life, you know, see no evil here. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in the time of temptation, though, do close your eyes to that. Do turn your ears away. Do close your thoughts to those things. Flee from the temptation. The bottom line is get away. Get away from temptation. Number two. Come on. Count the cost. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What are other ways to overcome temptation? Pause, ponder, and count the cost. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I've got 7 if you're note-taking, and I see some of the ladies here are. There will need to be room for 7. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. We don't get discouraged, even though our outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. It's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Here's what I do. We do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. But the things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen, are eternal. And that's what I focus on. I give sight to, I look upon, and consider more so things eternally. So you want to overcome temptation? Yes. Yes, I do. Well, then try counting the cost. Pause, ponder, and count the cost. Profit by counting the cost of where this could end up. What do you mean, Whit? Develop an eternal perspective. Start viewing the long-term repercussions of yielding to temptation. The possible, now here you go, listen, the possible hell that awaits you. Think about that in time of temptation. But even count the short term. Count the short cost of what you're doing too, meaning I might lose my family or a friend, or I might lose integrity, honesty, dignity. I know commercials make fun of that. There's There's a commercial, sad to say it's a beer commercial, but nonetheless, it talks about how dignity is overrated. No, it isn't. It's underrated. Dignity is not overrated. And you don't need to lose your dignity by yielding to temptation. You don't need to lose your integrity and your honor as a man or a woman, for that matter. Think. Count the cost, both short-term, what this is going to possibly do to me, and hell, long-term. Count the cost. Is it worth it? Turn to Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. Temporary pleasure in exchange for eternity with God? Are you kidding me? How silly is that? Look at Hebrews 11. Be like Moses and have a broader, longer view of life than just short-term pleasure. Verse 24 of Hebrews 11 says, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I won't have that. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For, here it is, he looked to the reward. I'm looking for what's down the road. You know, you that are in college, are pondering going to college, you that are in some sort of apprenticeship that is long-term, meaning I want to be a journeyman electrician like Scott or a journeyman plumber or whatever, you know you have to have a long-term view. I can't just be overnight what I want to be. I got to go to college for 4 years or more. I have to go through school, tech school to get... You have to have a long-term view. I can't just say, I want to be an accountant. Right, Jim? I want to be an accountant tomorrow. I can't do it that fast. You're going to have a long-term picture. The same thing with temptation. Have a longer-term view of things. Develop good desires. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Now, some of this, for you that are here every Sunday, you know how this will seem repeated because it applies to pretty much anything you're overcoming. So some of this will be repetition, will be a repeated thought. But here it is again. What's a good way to help me overcome temptation? Develop good desires, good thoughts. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and there sure is, and if there's anything praiseworthy, amen. Meditate on these things. Think about these things. Think on these thoughts. Matthew chapter 12, next, verse 35. Matthew chapter 12, look at verse number 35. A good man, yeah, that's you and me, right? A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. Now, that's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. Good thoughts, good heart, good mind, good treasure, good things. Bad, bad, bad. Good, good, good. So, you want to overcome temptation? Get your mind out of the gutter. Get your heart out of the basement or wherever that's so lowly and so pitiful, so bad. Overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. Much temptation is brought on ourselves due to a defiled mind. Just trying to be plain. Clean up your mind. And that's where sin begins anyway. You don't have to wait till it gets to your hands, to your eyes, to your tongue. It's already starting there. Anyway, so it would be best to dress the mind. Why? Because I want to overcome temptation? Well, yeah, that's today's lesson. But also because you're already sinning. If it dwells there for long. Now, I didn't say temptation is the sin. I already said that earlier. So I don't mean if a passing thought goes to your mind, I think I'm going to steal this. Well, I've sinned right there. Well, no, but if you continue to covet it, then you have. Even if you never take your hands and grab it, it's in my mind something that I continue to, in thought, dwell on and covet. Now you have. So you need to address the subject early on anyway in your mind. Now some of you might be thinking, well, some of the thoughts of the world cannot be avoided. Influences that are in the world. There's just bad stuff out there in the world that you're exposed to. I know that. Temptation, though, needs a breeding ground in your head, so don't create one for it. Fill your mind with good things of God, and the devil's temptations will find a harder time latching on because there's no place in you. The devil finds no place in you. You know, may I stop and pause just a moment? This is not really digressing. It's just pausing a moment that it came to mind. That's what it was with Jesus. Boom, 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 boom. He's being bombarded with temptation of the devil. There's nothing responding. With you and me, it's boom, 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 and something responds. It's like dangling bait. It's no good if it's not attractive to me. But it is tempting, and we grab hold. So get rid of that grab mechanism. Matthew chapter 6, 13. Stop the longing for such, and maybe the bait then won't have the attraction. Matthew 6, 13, we're going... Oh, I didn't do this here. Hang on a sec. There we go. Matthew 6, 13, pray. How do we overcome temptation? Pray. Well, that's obvious. Maybe it isn't. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Where have you heard that? In the so-called Lord's Prayer, right? The model prayer that Jesus, when asked, teach us to pray, Lord. Okay, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And you go right on down there and he says, lead us not into temptation. Well, that's in a prayer. Amen. It is in a prayer. So you need to use prayer to help, getting help in leading me not into temptation. How do I overcome temptation? By praying. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. You believe God can hear that prayer and help you out? Absolutely. Obviously so. But you know, in chapter 26:41, there's another mid, same book, Matthew, chapter 26:41, even the prayer itself, though asking help for deliverance from temptation, the mechanism or the act of prayer itself can be helpful too. It's a good defense, if you will, against temptation. Let me just be, well, I don't mean to try to deliberately be funny, but let me just indicate that it's hard to yield to temptation while you're praying. And even if you're not praying about leading me not into temptation, the actual act of prayer is hard while that's going on to be yielding to temptation. Did I make sense by that? I hope so. I hope so. 26:41. Jesus indicated this in chapter 26 of Matthew, verse 41. It reads, watch and pray. He tells the three apostles that are sleeping, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. I know your spirit's willing, but the flesh is so weak. So watch and pray that you not enter into temptation. So that's a great answer. I should have put that at the first. I didn't put these in order of priority or preference, but that probably should have been the first one. How do I overcome temptation? Pray! And pray some more. Be constant and instant in prayer. Put yourself in a good environment. Psalm number 1. Turn to the book of Psalms and find the first one. Psalm number 1. Put yourself in a good environment will help you overcome temptation. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's blessed. You just don't walk where ungodly people walk or heed their counsel. And you don't stand in the path that sinners trod. And you don't sit around with scornful people. What is your delight? Your delight, my delight, the righteous man's delight is the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth in its fruit. Brings its fruit forth, rather, forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whether or whatever he does shall prosper. And then he says in 4, the ungodly are not like this. They're like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall stand, not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But it indicates the Lord knows the way of the righteous, the way of the ungodly will perish. Someone has suggested that Lot, Abraham's nephew, contributed to his many troubles leading to his wife and other sins, his wife's death eventually and others, relatives and the whole demise and catastrophe that surrounded Sodom and Gomorrah, that it was contributed to by Lot's choosing to pitch his tents toward the direction of Sodom. Maybe, maybe not. But I do think that you putting yourself in a good environment can go a long way in offsetting temptations. Not simply avoiding bad situations, but putting yourself in good ones has to help. I don't see how I can't be any other way, right? Yeah, I don't see how I can be any other way. Temptation has areas where it's more frequent. And how does he word it there? He says, it's the path of sinners, the counsel of the ungodly, the seat of the scornful. Yeah, hey, pardon the very slang way of putting it, don't hang out with those people. Don't hang out with those people. All temptations will go away? No! But you're going to help yourself, what shall we say, 50%? You're going to help yourself considerably if you don't put yourself in a position. And then the other half of it is put yourself in, though, rather, a good environment. Not just simply avoid bad ones. Be especially careful of leisure time. I know at work you might say, boy, they're a hellish bunch of guys I have to work with. I understand unless you change jobs, you're going to have to put up with some of that. I understand that you might say, my family is like that, okay, some of that. But there's leisure time. You do have some control over some of your life, don't you? Some of your time. Make sure that's wholesome. Make sure that's good. Make sure that that is appropriate to not breed temptation, but to create a good environment for me. Paul the Apostle, I'm not turning, but it's in 1 Corinthians 15:33. He warns about evil companionship corrupting good morals. Practice self-control. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter, I've got two more. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to overcome temptation. Good for you. How do I do so? Practice self-control. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24. Do you not know, and he knows they know the answer to this, so he says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? They know how the races go. Everybody gets to run, but only one gets a prize. He says, you run like that. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate or exercises self-control in all things. Now they do it, those physical runners, athletes, do it to obtain a perishable crown. But we're doing a run, a race for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run like that. I run like what? Like this. Not with uncertainty, I know that much. I know exactly where I'm headed. And here's how I fight it. Not as one who is shadow boxing, just beating the air, which really doesn't amount to much, except it looks impressive. You know, it doesn't really do much. No, I discipline my body. Here's what I do. And bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, guess who gets disqualified? Me! Can't let that happen. Because what? One gets the prize. Now he knows that hundreds and thousands and millions of people will eventually be saved in heaven. He knows that. But you can't be running like that. You have to be running as if one gets the prize, and I have to have a certainty, a discipline, and don't just go through some motions of shadow boxing, beating the air, but you make it practically work by disciplining this, bringing it into subjection, so that I won't be disqualified when I cross the finish line in judgment. So, two things I want to emphasize on this point. One, practice self-control. Now this you can take or leave, meaning I'm just suggesting it and you can drop it in a hurry if you say, eh, it's not for me. Practice self-control. Practice what you will need to do, and that is exercise self-control. Practice it. Practice it. What can I do? Well, maybe you might want to practice with regard to certain foods you eat. You might want to practice with the bedtime you go or don't go or get up or whatever. Practice in TV shows that are your favorites. Practice saying no to yourself. Denying yourself is what Jesus called it. Practice that. Practice in areas that maybe it isn't eternal in consequence. But I'm going to practice mastering my body. He says, I discipline myself and bring it into subjection. How do you discipline your body? I practice it. And then the end, though, if you say, I don't like that. Okay, well, go to the next one. You don't have an option on this one. Exercise self-control. Yeah, whether you practice it or not, you better practice self-control. Now, that is a fruit of the Spirit that must be done. When it gets right down to it, you're going to have to control yourself. Just say no. Turn it off. Walk away. Whatever. J.R.'s song that he led a minute ago, Yield Not to Temptation, has a line, each victory will help you some other to win. Yeah. All right, let's wrap it up. Do not let your defenses down ever. Romans 13. Let's go here and we will conclude our thoughts for this morning. Romans chapter 13, 11, and then 2 Corinthians 2 to follow. Romans 13, 11. When it comes to this matter of overcoming temptation, never let your guard down. Never let your defenses down, thinking I'm beyond it touching me. 11 says, verse 11 indicates there, do this. Okay, we will. Knowing the time, it's now high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. We're getting closer to judgment than we did when we first were baptized. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Do not provide a way for your flesh to fulfill its desires. And then in 2 Corinthians 2, come over two books beyond Romans, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 10. 2 Corinthians 2, verse number 10 and 11. Now, Paul says, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us. And we sure don't want that to happen. Lest he take advantage of us. And we're not ignorant of how he works. We are not so strong as to be above temptation. Jesus was not above it. Paul was not above it. You and me neither. Either. We're not above it either. Constantly, we need to be on alert to potential pitfalls. Do not be ignorant of his devices or create openings for him. Know how he works. In 1 John, I'm not turning, but in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it indicates that we need to be faithful because it is our faith that overcomes the world. Faith is that which overcomes the world. Where does that faith come from? Romans 10:17 says faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord, the word of God. Jesus answered temptation this way. It is written. We say, the Bible says. God's word teaches. However you want to word it, that's good. That's good. That's a great way of dealing with it. Tempted to do such and such? Nope. The Bible says. Nope. Scripture reads. It is written. Paul, in another place in Ephesians 6, says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Just armor yourself up in the things of God. And he breaks it down for you, the armament. You can read that on your own in Ephesians 6. But put on that whole armor of God and ensure yourself as able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. You can do it. We can do it.